You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Amen. Are you good? Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Glad to be in His house today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 14. Reading one verse of Scripture this morning from Romans chapter 14, and then we'll go into our message. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes on how to really live. How to really live. When you think of the essence of Christianity, it's not based upon the natural things of life, but rather it's based upon the spiritual things. Warren Wiersbe states, not the externals, but the eternals must be the first in our lives. It's not the things on the outside that's going to keep you. It's going to be what comes to your life on the inside. And where this morning does that come from? The writer of Romans, Paul, as he's writing here, he says it's the work of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Listen, there's a lot of things that can happen in people's lives. A lot of things can happen in churches. The smallest of things at times can distract people, derail people's walk with God. Sometimes it doesn't take a lot to take somebody off track. And even someone who has maybe stepped away from God, they look back and maybe how simple it started. You can see that happen in churches as well. Churches can become divided over minor things. It's very interesting to know that insignificant matters can upset even churches. People in churches have been divided over where the piano sits or whether they should serve a meal after church. Lots of things can, it sounds so silly after the fact, but things happen in a very easy way. And Paul, he's writing and he's telling us very clearly what it isn't, and he's telling us what it is. First thing he says is it's not meat and drink. The kingdom is not that. And Paul's writing and tells us what the kingdom of God is and what it isn't. When you're looking at that phrase, the kingdom of God, the holy religion which God sent from heaven, which He intended to make the instruments of establishing a counterpart for the glory or the kingdom of man here on earth. If you read in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2, it simply says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." What it's referring to is going back to the prophecy of Daniel in Daniel chapter 7, where the reign of Christ among men is expressly foretold, and it's being prophetic that this is going to happen. God is going to set up His kingdom. This phase, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, they mean the similar things, and it's really just the name of the dispensation where there's an infinite amount of mercy, a manifestation of His eternal truth, where Jesus is going to let there be a knowledge of Him in such a way that the people of God are going to come to the house of God or find a place with God on a daily basis where there's a worship that arises to Him because of who He is and what He has done. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is just realizing that you and I are not in control. Whether I serve God or not, He's going to have a kingdom. Whether I'm in the kingdom or not, He's still going to have a kingdom. Amen. We've come to the house of the Lord this morning, and God desires everybody in this building to be part of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. I asked you this morning, are you endeavoring to do your best to be part of the church of the living God? Amen. Why is it called a kingdom? Because it has laws, has moral precepts of the gospel. It's subject to everyone who will believe in Jesus Christ as King, as the sovereign Savior of both heaven and earth. Jesus never saved a soul which he did not want to govern. He always wants to be the Lord of our life. He always wants to be the person in charge of our life, and every person must feel in their spirit a subjection to his divine will, where they say, God, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, God designed that the kingdom of grace would resemble what the kingdom of glory already resembles above. His kingdom of grace is taught to us when he teaches us how to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He further added that the kingdom of God is at hand. The dispensation of the glorious gospel that has been opened to mankind, where everyone has the offer of salvation. Nobody excluded this morning. Everybody who wants it can receive it. Can I tell you this morning, there is nothing in this world that could keep you from salvation if you desire it today. He really wants you to live. He doesn't want you just to be breathing and just to walk through this life. He wants you to have life and life more abundantly. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is also at hand to us when we realize that Christ was crucified for you and I. Salvation is available. The kingdom does not consist in the gratification of sensual passions or worldly ambitions, but Paul says it's rather in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, what can there be more than this in glory? Righteousness without the mixture of sin. No sin in heaven, just righteousness. Peace without strife or contention. Not going to be any strife and contention in heaven. Joy in the Holy Ghost, a spiritual joy without the mixture of misery. Not going to be any anxiety in heaven. Not going to be any misery in heaven. No worry there. Amen. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Heaven is going to contain righteousness. It's going to be full of peace. And it's going to be full of joy. So then how is it possible this morning for you and I to enjoy that here below? Because we haven't made it to heaven yet. How does heaven differ from the state that you and I are in this morning? How is it that Paul can write this verse and that's what it already is in heaven, but he's saying that you and I can have some of that right here this morning? Yes, it makes the righteousness eternal. Yes, it makes the peace eternal. Yes, it makes the joy eternal. But I'm not there yet. I'm still living here. The phrase, the kingdom of heaven, is used frequently by rabbinical writers, where they always mean the purity of the divine worship and the blessedness of what it's going to be like in heaven. But you and I are told to occupy until he comes. We've got to understand that what Paul's writing, he's writing to the church. He's not just writing for future. He's not just writing that this is what heaven will be like. He's also writing that this is how you can live right here, right now. Paul's giving the church at Rome an understanding. Listen, it's not what you got yourself caught up in. It's not what you're focusing on. There's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost that you can have. He tells us, first of all, what it's not. He says it's not meat and drink. It consists not in the outward and indifferent things that we get caught up in life about. See, the Jews observed the distinction between different kinds of foods, and they made such a they observed those matters and did it with conscience. They were dealing with issues of meat that had been sold at a discounted rate that had been offered to idols. And you can read it through Romans. You can read it through Corinthians, where Paul is writing about it. And while they're in the Old Testament, Moses is he didn't tell them that they had to prescribe to any particular drink or whatever. But you see instances where the Nazarites would abstain from certain things, and there's distinctions that was made in what they could partake of and what they couldn't partake of. And this was judged to be very important. Paul even writes about it to the church of Colossians in chapter 2. He says, let no man judge you in meat or in drink. And so it was important to them. But they had got so caught up in what had been their lifestyle that they were missing what they could also have right here on earth. And so Paul's making, he doesn't spend a lot of time on it. He just says it's not meat and drink. It's not what you got yourself focused on. It's not what you got yourself consumed with. It's not what everyone else is doing. He said you got your focus on the wrong things. He's explaining to them and trying to get them to understand this is not what it is, but there's something that it is that you can have rather. Something that you can have. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Those are very comprehensive words. Each of them include the foundation and the superstructure of what God has for you and I in our Christian journey. Dr. David Bernard puts it this way: the kingdom of God is the rule of God in our hearts and lives of men. Although Christ will establish a literal earthly kingdom in the future, this verse speaks of the present kingdom of God within us. We can only enter this kingdom by the new birth. And since the present kingdom of God consists of righteousness, peace, and joy imparted by the Holy Spirit, it is clear that we can only partake of that kingdom through the indwelling of His Spirit. True Christianity stems from an internal relationship with God that goes beyond what this world can offer. He states that righteousness is a moral uprightness, and peace is an inner tranquility, and joy is a gladness and a delight that you and I can have in our hearts, that no matter what is happening around you, you can have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So I'll just focus a little bit this morning on what these three things mean to you and I, and what they can represent to you and I, because I want to, listen, I'm preparing for the other side, but until He comes or takes me home, amen, I've got to live here, and I don't want to live, hallelujah, in a dreary state, always worrying about or consumed with life. No, I want my life to be on fire for Him. I want to be full of His Spirit and go through day to day accomplishing everything He has for me today. You and I can live that way. And this verse simply tells us the process of how that works. Number one, righteousness. That's a pardon of sin, a holiness of heart and life. The word means virtue or integrity, a faithful discharge of all the duties which we owe to God and to our fellow man. It means that the Christian must so live as to be appropriately denominated a righteous person, a person whose attention is absorbed by the power of God's Spirit. To produce this, that we're told that there is a main design, the principal teaching of the gospel. John writes about it in 1 John chapter 2. He said, everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. Everybody. 1 John chapter 3, he said, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. He that is righteous, that's the characteristics that leads to a holy life, a separated life, a Christian life, the aim to do the will of God, to be discharged from everything the enemy would try to put upon your life, and allow the power of salvation to become what is the guiding light of your life. Let me tell you this morning, there is no devil in hell that can keep you from serving God. Okay, I only had about a third of people that agreed with it. There is nothing in this world this morning that can stop me from serving God. Amen. He has already destined it, designed it that you and I can live in righteousness because of the power of salvation. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. I couldn't buy it. I'll never get good enough to have it. But because He died, He gave me the opportunity to live for Him. Listen, the writer of Isaiah, he writes it. He tells about how powerful it is. Listen, we, in Isaiah 64, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. I couldn't do it. I couldn't fix it. I couldn't make it right. My righteousness, the prophet Isaiah said, was like filthy rags. But Paul writes to the church at Rome in chapter 5 of Romans, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Let me simply put it this way. What my filthy rags couldn't do, there was one that came that could do it. And He took my unfilthy rags of righteousness, and by His power, He has made your life right today. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That has sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. What you and I could not do, He did it for you. What you and I couldn't accomplish, He did it for you. Amen. It's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. It's the power of the righteousness of God that has changed our lives. When Paul writes it in Romans 14, the sequence is important. You can't have proper peace without righteousness. My life can't be changed the way it should without Christ. I'm not going to get to where He wants me to be without Calvary, without the power of the cross. Righteousness is the sequence of what has to happen first. And because of that righteousness, then it's also peace. In the soul, from the sense of God's mercy, peace regulating, ruling, and harmonizing the heart. This word in this place does not refer just to internal peace, but it also refers to the removal of contention and strife even among people. There's something that the righteousness of God does for you and I. It allows us to live our own personal lives in peace, but it allows us to have peace with all men. See, the tendency and the design of the kingdom of God is to produce a concord of love and to put an end to alienation and strife. Oh yes, there will always be grounds for different opinions. But the maintaining of peace instead of strife and contention in people's lives is brought on by the work of righteousness. And because of that righteousness, it produces peace. The tendency of the gospel is to promote peace and to induce people to lay aside all causes of contention and strife. That doesn't just mean here at church. Listen, when God changes your life through salvation, it'll change you at work. People will wonder what happened to you. You've seen it happen with people. Some people are just plain miserable. But when God comes in their life, it makes them a new person. It changes their life. Their long-suffering changes, and their patience changes, and their approach on life changes. That's because of the power of salvation. It brings a peace in their life that they did not have before. That's why Paul writes it so powerful in Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry, be happy. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. How? Through Christ Jesus. You want your life to change and peace to come into your life? Let salvation happen. Let righteousness happen. And all of a sudden, Paul said, you'll start thinking about different things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Oh, how do you really want to live? Do you want it to be that you wake up in the morning and you wish you were still sleeping? You wish you didn't have to go to work. You wish you didn't have to face the challenges of that day that ever happened to you. You just want to roll over and go back to sleep. You start to think about what you got to handle that day. Listen, that's what happens in the flesh. That's what happens in our daily lives. Okay? But Paul said there's a better way to live. You can live with righteousness. And you can live with peace. Listen, that doesn't mean that the world won't be in turmoil. That doesn't mean that everything, amen, in life will be going smoothly. What it does mean, because of your walk with God and because of your relationship with Him, you'll think on things that are true and honest and of good report. And you won't allow the things of this life to challenge you in a way that you can't get through the day. But rather, the God of peace shall be with you. What is it? It's a peace that passeth all understanding. What does it keep? It keeps your heart and mind. And it does that, the Bible says, through Christ Jesus. I want to live I hope you desire to live with righteousness and peace. Paul goes on to give the sequence. And he says, and joy. And joy. A solid spiritual satisfaction. A joy which springs from a clear sense of God's mercy. The love of God being shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. In a word, it's the contentment that's brought into our soul by the power of His Spirit. And it's maintained there by the influence of His Spirit. It's a genuine counterpart of heaven. Righteousness without sin. Peace without inner disturbance. And joy without any kind of mental agony or distressing fear. It refers doubtless to personal happiness produced in the mind by the power of His Spirit. There are too many people in life that are just not happy. Listen, I understand we use the word happiness, and happiness is determined by circumstances. But when the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength, that means no matter what you're facing today, there can be and joy in your life that takes you to realms people don't understand. How is it that you're facing the challenges of your day and you still got a smile on your face? A joy of the Lord. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Peter's writing it and he says, listen, when salvation happens to you, there's something that's unspeakable. You can't even explain it. It's hard to give explanation of the joy that fills your life. This is what I was. And this is what I am now. This is where I came from, and this is where He's taken me. There's something that arises inside of you. It calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory. Huh? It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. One more time. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. There can't be, there shouldn't be a gloomy Christian. You shouldn't have a sad face. Oh, listen, that doesn't mean you won't have a bad day, and it doesn't mean you won't have challenges. But when you think of the salvation that God has changed your life with and the peace He's put inside, hallelujah, it will bring you joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Music, come. Paul's writing and he says, this is how you really get to live. And he says, all of this is produced by the Holy Spirit. See, as to God, Our great concern is righteousness. To appear before Him justified by the merit of His death, sanctified by the Spirit of His grace. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. But as to our brethren, it's peace. To live in peace and love and charity with them, following peace with all men. Christ came into the world to be the great peacemaker. But as to ourselves, it's joy in the Holy Ghost. As to God, it's righteousness. As to others, it's peace. But to you, it should be that you also have joy. My life is not just that God saved me to save me. My life was not just saved to be pleasant to you or to help you in some way. I want to be full of joy in the Holy Ghost. And so what happens is each of these things happen in your life, and that's how you really get to live. People are trying to live with joy without having peace. And they're trying to have peace without having righteousness. Paul's got it in a perfect sequence. See, Jewish people often spoke of the perfect future time of God's kingdom when the Spirit would be made available and all people would be at peace with one another. And Paul's saying in this passage, listen, the coming of that Spirit, the inaugurating the working of the kingdom, there's going to be a peace with everyone. You can read it in Romans chapter 4, 14 and 19. But you can back up to Matthew's writing, and you can look at how he writes the what we know as the Beatitudes. He even gives us the same sequence. Notice Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This is the sequence, same sequence that Paul gives. Notice verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Matthew writes a number of other things in there in the Beatitudes. But he also gets the sequence the same way Paul gets the sequence. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Paul writes it one more time just to confirm it to us in Romans chapter 5. He says this, therefore, being justified by faith, talking about righteousness of God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. If you really want to know how to live, don't get caught up in the meat and drink, the things of life. Don't get caught up in all the hoopla of what people get caught up in. This debate and that debate and all. Don't allow yourself to get caught up in all that. But rather, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And if you get caught up in that, you'll really learn how to live this Christian walk that God has for you. You'll really enjoy life. I'm not interested in not enjoying life. I'm not interested in calling myself a Christian and wondering how I'm going to get through day to day. I'm not interested in coming to church two or three times a week and wondering whether I'm going to make it. No, I want my life to be righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Every person in this room can really get to live how God wants you to live. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, Pastor, I don't know if I can get there. Oh, sure you can. If Paul can get there, you can get there. Trust me. If Paul can do it, if Paul can write it, you can get there. How many people have you put in prison and how many people have you killed? Listen, if Paul can get there, you and I can get there. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Stand this morning. God, I thank you for every person that's in the house of the Lord today. God, you put into my spirit for this service this morning that someone, God, that could just experience salvation, what you've extended to them in that new birth experience. God, where someone could give their heart and life to you, no matter what challenges they have in life, they say, God, here I am. I'm just giving myself to you this morning, God. I have nothing else I can do. I'm giving myself to you. I'm offering myself as a living sacrifice. I'm offering myself, God, to you. Here I am, all my faults, failures, and God, my shortcomings. I give it to you this morning. I need, God, you to touch my heart and my life. I repent of my sin this morning. I'm asking you into my heart, God. I pray, God, for a cleansing that would happen in my life, a cleansing from things, all unrighteousness, and God, the filthiness of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. I'm asking for a cleansing from all those things, God. I want to experience the peace that passeth all understanding, so that there can be a joy in my life, a joy, God, no matter what's happening, I can have a joy, God, in serving you. I pray, God, for every person, God, that that would be their prayer this morning. Every person in this room, everyone that's watching or listening online this morning, that they would get to experience you, God, through this sequence of what Paul gives to us in Romans chapter 14. I open the altar this morning. I open the altar for anyone who wants to come. You can come just the way you are. You can reach out to Him just the way you are. He loves you beyond measure. He loves you beyond what any understanding you could have this morning. His mercy is everlasting. His grace is sufficient. He cares about you more than you'll ever realize. He cares about you more than you'll ever know. Amen. He desires the righteousness of Him to be in your life. Not the filthy rags of righteousness, but rather the righteousness of God. Where a peace of God that comes to your life passes all understanding this morning. Oh God. Where the joy fills us.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.